I wrote on the board, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I feel inspired about some things this morning. And I would like to ask your prayers. There's so many things, so many good things the Lord has for us in God. And I've been thinking about a number of things. You know, there's a lot of different ways that the Lord brings joy into our life. And I was thinking about, as often I do, there's so many different cells in our body, and the Lord made them all, and they all do a part. There's just different things that the Lord has made up. You build a house, there's a lot of different studs in there. There's a lot of different things that make a house, isn't there? And the Lord wants our life to be full. And He has provided a number of ways for us to have joy in our life. One of those ways we know is just the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord blesses us, doesn't He? And, you know, do we always feel real joyful? I don't, but I will tell you this, the Spirit of the Lord can supply that in the darkest of times. And I'm thinking this morning about a particular way that the Lord brings joy to our lives. And I want to encourage us today to take full advantage, because God has put in His house and in His things, He has made a way for His people to be full and complete and satisfied. In Nehemiah 8 and 8, we read, I want to read through 12. Nehemiah 8, so they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know, these people that we're reading about had been captive in a strange land for many years. Probably most of these people all their life had been captives. But the Lord had promised them and given them some promises that after 70 years in captivity, the Israelites could return home to their native land and have back their native city. And you know, these people had went back. And Ezra and Nehemiah here were working with the people. And we find them rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They had endured much in their day. It's not all fun to be captives in a strange land. It can't be. I don't know what all they experienced. I'm sure their experiences were different. Daniel was a captive, and all those years he was in the king's palace and advised the king and was over part of his realm and all that. But others, I'm sure, suffered a lot. But all these people that went back to rebuild these walls, they went back and they remembered all those things. But God was fulfilling a promise to them. And so there was a time there where they began to read the law to these people and they wept. They didn't, I have my doubts, they maybe had heard the whole law. They wept. They wept when they heard it. It was such fresh news to them. It was something that they could look forward to. And the people in Nehemiah and Ezra, the different ones, the scribes that were the Levites, they told them, don't weep. This day, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. You know what that word holy there means? It means set apart. This day is a day that is set apart unto God. And he said, don't mourn or weep. He said, then he goes on in verse 10 and says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy, set apart unto the Lord, unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I just want us to catch that phrase this morning. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to tell you, if you want people to stay with something, they need to find some satisfaction in it. Because if they're miserable, after a while, it's going to be hard for them to keep going that way. If fear doesn't do it. You can't force people into things. But I want to tell you, you find people that find joy in what they're doing, you can't separate them from it. And so, so he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, this day is set apart. Okay, I want you to remember that. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, it's set apart. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. That word mirth, I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it says blithesomeness or glee. they were excited. When that word is translated in the English language many times, and we find it as gladness, mirth, pleasure, rejoice, rejoicing, that's the way that same word is translated. And so what was going on here was these people had been through a lot. You've been through anything in your life? Have you been through any heavy and any troubles? I want to tell you, there's some times the Lord, I really believe this, there are times the Lord wants us to draw apart and enjoy thoroughly some things that he has provided for us. And so I think when we recognize that is a real privilege that we have, that God wants us to come apart and he wants to give us the fulfillment of our souls. He wants to teach us. They read to them out of the law. Now, if you don't have any thirst for spiritual things, then this isn't going to apply to you this morning, because you're not going to enjoy. But I want to tell you, people wonder, why would you go all the miles you do to a camp meeting and spend a week there and come back like you've been to some great festival? Well, I will tell you why. Because the joy of the Lord is there. And he wants us to recognize and realize the great value and blessing that the Lord wants to give us at those times. He kept telling them here several times. He said, this day is set apart. That's what that word holy meant there. It's unto God. It's God's. This is God's day. And so let's look a little bit into some scripture. And I want to read a few things, but I want to think about the joys that are available to us in our gatherings. You know, some of the greatest joys of my life, and many times over, are when I was at meetings. When I look back over the years and I consider those things, I realize the blessing. The blessing that the Lord gave us there. And I realize how the reading of the words of life, the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord upon the preaching at those meetings changed me. It brought me back sometimes a different person than I went. I can remember times when I didn't want to go at all. I don't feel like going to a meeting this time. For whatever reason, maybe I was feeling under people's disapproval or whatever. I just want to stay home. Well, you know what? Sometimes we feel that way. Feelings are our friends when everything's going our way, and our enemies when they're not. We don't go by feelings. And so we go by the word of the Lord and by the scripture. There's a song that Brother Ivan was telling me about And he was not able to find this song. If you find this song, please give it to me in its entirety. But here's what he could remember of it. He said, oh, now this is an older song, of course. Oh, they traveled over cobblestones, rode in their buckboard wagons, boys in their overalls, girls in their gingham dresses, with the good Lord on their mind, a prayer in their hearts, a praise on their lips, and a song in their soul, they journeyed. They only had one thought in mind. It was to leave their cares behind and lay down their heavy loads at the meeting. Ma forgot about the quilt she had to piece. Daddy seemed to care. Daddy didn't seem to care that he had to reap the harvest. They only had one thought in mind. It was to leave their cares behind and lay down their heavy loads at the meeting. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of other good words probably to that song, but I would love to hear them. But you know, don't we relate to that this morning? Don't we relate to the idea and the enjoyment of going to meeting? We hear the word of the Lord, we're encouraged, we're changed, we're admonished, we are corrected, aren't we? I mean, I hope we are. That's what it's for. And at the same time, you know what else we enjoy? We enjoy being with one another, don't we? Did you know that that is a part of the whole thing? I would disagree myself with anyone that would say it is only to just come and just, you know, I know there might be meetings to just come and fast and pray, but I want to tell you something. There is a wonderful blessing we receive when we rub shoulders in the dining hall. There's a wonderful blessing we receive when we're in the kitchen cooking, isn't there? There's a wonderful blessing we receive when we're walking across the campground and talking with others that of like mind. I want to tell you, it's a blessing, isn't it? Now I want to look at some things that the Lord set up. He told them in the Old Testament. He said, this is Exodus 23 and 17, I'm just going to refer to it. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord. This was a command in the Old Testament. I'm not saying it's a command in the New. But this was a command to the Israelites. Three times in a year, all the males that could, that were able-bodied people were to make it. 13 and up were to make it to these feasts. And in Exodus 34 and 23, it says, thrice in the year shall all your men and children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. It did not exclude the women, but what I believe God was wanting to say was, you men that are head of your household, be there. And you know, their families came many times too. Can't you imagine? Well, I want to read a little more about what it was like. But one of the three feasts that they were supposed to attend was the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And I want to talk about that just a minute this morning, because it was a very special time. There was the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. It was all three of those names. And so we find here, I want to turn to Leviticus 23 and 39. Of Leviticus, and read a little bit there. And I hope I'm not too wearisome in the reading, but I feel like it's worthwhile to read some of these things. It says, also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. 7 days? 7 days the males are supposed to go up and be there at this feast? How could they in their busy lives do those kind of things? But then we think another way, and we think their whole life revolved around the service of God. That's how. Their whole life revolved around it. Now, I know this is Old Testament teaching, but I think there's a few principles that we can gain from this. When ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Do you know that the Lord wasn't being mean to them? They were coming apart. He said, I want you to rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. I want you to do that. And they were supposed to go and cut branches from trees and take them. And you know what that was for? They were building them little temporary booths, little temporary houses to live in. And there's a lot of things there that, there's a lot of details here that I'm going to pass over because I'm wanting to draw this one point. And so he says, ye shall take you the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Now, you know, why would the Lord do that? A statute. There must have been some reasons that he had. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You know, from my understanding and what little I've read about it, when they came out and they camped out 40 years, you know, it wasn't full-blown houses and all those things. The Lord wanted them to remember some things. I brought you out of Egypt. And this time, I want you to remember you spent 40 years in the wilderness. And you lived in these temporary dwellings. And so, while they were doing that, this was right after they had gathered in the bulk of their harvest. And most of them were farmers, and they had gathered in the bulk of their crop, and so that was a great time of rejoicing. It was a time to remember how that God had brought them, preserved them, fed them with manna from heaven, and how he was still providing for them. And if what I read was right, they were to leave the opening at the top open of this so they could see the stars. And you know, that may have various meanings, but I think the Lord wanted them to know, my hand is feeding you. I provided your stuff this year. I blessed your crops this year. And the Lord wanted them to have a time to come apart. Don't you know that while they were apart like that, that the children enjoyed playing together? Don't you know that the men enjoyed visiting together? Don't you know that the women enjoyed visiting together at these times? Don't you know that people from long ways off came at these times? And it was a time of refreshing, a time of renewing, a time to renew your appreciation for the things God has done for us. Has God done anything for you? You remember when you were in the foreign land? Remember the Passover, see, was a whole different time. And it was a week-long feast as well. And they were to remember how that God, I'll read some of that here in a minute, but how that God had provided for them a Passover lamb to be slain. And the blood of that lamb, when the death angel saw that, passed over their houses. It's beautiful, isn't it? And they heard the reading of the law, and they were reminded of the things God wanted them to do. Folks, we are not very good at counseling ourselves. Okay, I'm not. And you're not either. We're not very good at counseling ourselves. But I want to tell you, when we hear the word of the Lord come from various minds and various teachers and various preachers and various ones in the congregation that gets up and says something that's life-changing for you, is that not life-changing? It is, isn't it? It comes from all directions, and it's a blessing the Lord wants to load us with. The benefits that, Psalms 103 talks about, that He daily loads us with benefits. I want to tell you, there is a time that our time should be holy unto the Lord. And by that word, I'm talking about set apart for the Lord. Some of those days they could work, and some days they couldn't work at all. And so it was a special time. I want us to keep in mind the effect that this type of gathering had on them. There was a religious effect. There was a renewing of the law, a renewing of what they knew God wanted them to do and be and live, and the promises of God to them. All those things were read to them at these times. The promise of God. Did you know God has promised us great things, folks? Come and hear about it. We're fixing to have a camp meeting. I want to challenge us to come apart for a bit. Come apart for a bit. If you can't come apart every day, set a couple days. And this is holy. This is the Lord's days. I'm going to set these days aside. I want to hear what God has to say. I guess I've been blessed by it so much through the years. And I feel like it's a principle that the Lord has put in place. And so He told them not just to go down there and rent a hotel. He said, go down there and cut booths and cut trees down and all these, take branches with you. And when you get there, stay under this thing. And remember what the Lord thy God has done for you. Oh, this morning, I believe God has some really good things for us. Now that's the Feast of Tabernacles or booths or ingathering. Right after the harvest was. And that's what we read about also in Nehemiah a minute ago. So I want to read another place in Deuteronomy 16 and 9, one more, and listen to what he says there. At least 13. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. I just want you to notice how often the Lord tells us to rejoice before Him. Thou shalt, and just think, they were under the law. I mean, you're going to rejoice. He said, rejoice before Him. The Lord was their all in all. Thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place His name there. Well, this was before Jerusalem was chosen, but that's where it was, where He chose to put His name there. And Jerusalem was where the temple was built. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And listen to this. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase, in all thy works, the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. I want to remind us, we can't possibly go to all the scriptures that are involved here, but do you know that the Lord told them, I want you to tithe, a tithe, which was 10%, I want you to tithe that so you can go to the feast. Did you know that? I want you to tithe that and keep that so you can go to the feast and so you can help the poor go. Now, we call these feasts. We're thinking where you go and eat a whole lot and all that. But we're talking about festivals here that the Lord had in place. And he told them, I want you to keep back some so you can go. Now, I know that sometimes all the pretties of life are what we set our heart on. And I'm not chastising anybody. But I want to tell you, let's just make sure that we can take care of the good things that God has given us to take care of. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to pull apart. It's sometimes a real sacrifice. And sometimes some don't have it. And you know, he wants us to help them go if they don't have it. I just believe that. Might open up our cars, or might just pay their way, or whatever. You know, there's a blessing. We can say, well, I don't want that. Well, there is a blessing that the Lord puts on sacrifice, folks, that doesn't come any other way. It is the fire of God that consumes that sacrifice that is so amazing when it comes. It is the joy that God drops on those things. And so, anyway, I just want to encourage us today that God has some really good things for us, and let's don't forget them. I know we're not in the Old Testament times, but I want to tell you this. We still have spiritual needs. We still need to hear the word of the Lord. We still have social needs. We as a people need to have those filled. We still have needs that we can come together in a larger group and be admonished one of another. We have those needs. It's needful because sometimes somebody from way off, we heard a message not long ago here. It really has blessed me. I want to tell you, to be up and about the Lord's business. And I've tried to be that. I've tried to do that. But in maybe a different way, in a better way. So we are blessed. We are challenged. We are motivated by the many things and blessings God has made. And I know we may feel like, well, I don't have time for any of that. Well, I want to tell you something. You're going to miss out a lot if you really don't make time for it. Because we have time for the things we really want to do. And I know some of us, you know, I've tried to think, I know some of us can't get off like others can. But I want to encourage us to take some time and try to make some of these things happen. I think it'll bless us a whole lot. You know, another feast. Now, there was three the Lord said, I want you to be at every year, all the males. Another one was the Passover. That's in Exodus 12 and 14. The mind of God kind of comes through in so many scriptures and in so many ways. And this day shall be for a memorial, Exodus 12 and 14 through 17. It shall be for a memorial. I want you to remember something. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I don't ever want you to forget it. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. I want you to really remember this time. I want you to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. You ever had unleavened bread for a day? We've had a little bit here. It's kind of chewy and good for a little pinch, isn't it? But I've never eaten 7 days unleavened bread. But the Lord told him, I want you to come apart. I want you to remember something. And he said, and I know it has other significance too. I'm not going to try to go into all that right now. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. You know that leaven, the leaven of unrighteousness, the leaven of sin? You know, leaven gets in a loaf and it just lifts it up, doesn't it? You know, the Lord does not allow the leaven of sin into our lives. We have to purge it. We have to allow God to purge it out and keep it out. Because he said, if they eat this leavened bread, that soul's going to be cut off from the camp. Well, you know, we don't cut anybody off. But I want to tell you, God knows his own, doesn't he? I want to encourage us today to let the leaven of unrighteousness, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of wickedness, the leaven of superficial thing, purge it from our lives. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. What's a convocation? It's a meeting of the people. That's what it is. In the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now what's he talking about there? In this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of Egypt. They've commemorated that day every year after that. It was sometime in March or April there. And you know, as we said a while ago, there was a Passover lamb. God had told the Pharaoh of Egypt, let my people go. Moses went and told him over and over. God said, let my people go. And you know what? He wouldn't let them go, would he? And finally, he told Moses, you get ready because he's going to let you go after this. Because I'm going to send a death angel through all the land of Egypt. And every firstborn of man and beast is going to die. But of the Israelites, he told them, he said, I want you to kill this lamb. And I want you to put the blood of it on the two side posts of your door and across the top on the lintel. And every house that has that blood applied, I'm going to pass over that. Do you know these people at this feast every year heard that story over again? Do you know they commemorated what was going on here over again? Every year they commemorated this. And they camped out a whole week and they were commanded to be here. Do you know God wanted them to remain a separate and distinct people? He wants his people today to be separate from the sin of the world. And even from religiously fellowshipping sin. Okay? In other people, in their lives, in the world, in other churches. The Lord wants his people to be separate from those things. And you know what he did? He sent his son to be the Lamb of God. And his blood was shed. And he was killed, not because he couldn't help it, but because he gave his life. And when we by faith believe, all of us folks have to believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for my sins. I believe. I'm a partaker of Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. And when that blood is applied to our heart by faith, there's a wonderful work that happens. And God saves our soul. That's a work of faith, isn't it? I want to tell you something. The Lord still today wants us to remember that. That's why many camp meetings, I've been to so many where we have that time, where we have that little, enjoy that time of remembering how the Lord, we take of the bread, we take of the juice. We remember that the Lord shed his blood for us. And he will pass over our sins and keep us from it and change us completely. So the Lord help us today. I just wanted to share those little things. I have a little more here yet. But there was also the Feast of Pentecost. And, you know, I know that the Lord wanted us to remember all of these things. He wanted us to remember the things he had done for us. The Feast of Pentecost, I'm not as familiar with as the other two. The feast itself was one day. I'm not sure how long they stayed there. But it was on the 50th day after the Passover. Do you know what happened the 50th day after the Passover happened in Egypt? You know what happened? God gave Moses the law and wrote it on stone, didn't he? On the mount. He did that. Do you know what happened on the 50th day after Christ, our Passover, was given for us? Do you know what happened? That's when the Spirit of God, the day of Pentecost happened. We call it the day of Pentecost. You know that that went way, way, way back. And the Lord began to write his law on people's hearts. And the Spirit of God came upon people. And Peter said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet. And we find that their lives totally changed because God became animated in their life in a way that had not been before. So let's remember these things, that it was also, well, it was anyway 50 days after the Passover when Jesus was given and then the Holy Spirit was given. I want to encourage us this morning to remember the words of the Hebrew writer of Hebrews, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Do you know it's nothing new? It was happening in their day, the gospel day. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And you know what else it says? And so much the more, as you see the day approaching. I want to tell you, you read the writers of Psalms and all those things, you find those that loved the work of God. They loved Jerusalem as their chief joy. And I want to tell you, the Lord has a new Jerusalem today, doesn't he? And it's in the hearts of all the believers. Everyone that truly has gotten saved and departed from sin is a believer, aren't they? Thank the Lord this morning. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I know some of you have never been to the camp meetings, but I want to encourage you that there is a real special blessing and gift given at those times. And I want to make sure to accentuate. I was reading a writer on some of that. It said, to procure them lawful pleasures and necessary rest, to give them instruction. For in their religious assemblies, the law of God was always read and explained. To consolidate their social union by renewing the acquaintance of their tribes and families. For on these occasions, they come together from different parts of the land to the holy city. So the Lord bless us this morning. Folks, we have what we call camp meeting season through the summer. it's a time for us to be encouraged and blessed. And I want to encourage us to make provision for it and to recognize the high value of it. Because we are one congregation and there are a bunch of others. I really believe the Lord wants us to bump shoulders more than we do. And I would like to ask the Lord to really bless this year, this season. Cause us to hear the laws, the words, if you want to call them laws, the laws of God are beautiful, aren't they? He still has judgments. He still has laws. He wants to write them in our hearts. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, the Lord has sent some folks, and they're going to be preaching messages all around the land this summer. I want to encourage us to go and take our bucket along and get it full. You pray for me. I have found this to be one of the joys of my life. It has strengthened my core. It has strengthened my beliefs. There has been times the Lord has shown light on something that I never knew before, or that I always questioned. Have you ever questioned anything? I think when I started, I probably questioned everything there is. I don't think there was any question that I didn't have. But I want to tell you something. God wants to meet those, and He wants to answer those questions, and He will, if we'll let Him do it, if we'll seek Him. So let's look to the Lord, and what would you have me do, Lord? And I need you. And I want to say this morning, if the Lord talks to anybody's heart, you feel a need of God, we have a little altar right up here where we come up and we kneel and we pray together. I've seen the Lord heal instantly. I've seen the Lord save amazingly. I've seen the Lord sanctify. I want to tell you, God has the answers for our needs. So this morning, let's just look to the Lord. Folks, rejoice in the God of your salvation. It is an awesome thing. You pray for me.